I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hot, humid, you figured that, and it's going to be that way through the end of October. The jail in Orleans Parish is under a lot of scrutiny as of late, and rightfully so after the not-so-great escape. Some prisoners still on the loose, although two more are still out there. Three were captured. Becky Mowbray joins us now, president and CEO of BGR, and Paul Rue, senior research analyst of BGR. They released a report with recommendations on how to improve the New Orleans jail, and we'll talk about that now. Good morning, folks. How are y'all?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for taking the time. Paul, are you there? You can say hello, too.
Yeah, I'm here, too. Thanks again for having us.
And just so I understand, you two are not in the same room where you can give each other visual cues to know who's talking and who's not?
We are not, but we opened a Microsoft Teams video link. So there you go.
Good for y'all. So you know who's talking and who's not. So I see on the report here, it says, if the conversation ends with another round of finger pointing, it is a disservice to the public. And I get that, but I don't want finger pointing. Sometimes it seems as though, Becky, we'll start with you, I guess. Sometimes it seems as though responsibility gets morphed into finger pointing. Somebody has to be responsible for this, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the responsibility for the jail is really shared in a lot of ways. I mean, the city is responsible by law for providing the funding for a good and sufficient jail, but the sheriff is the one who runs it on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, both parties have roles, and the city includes, of course, the city council and the mayoral administration, which starts the budget. Both sides need to contribute, and clearly the jailbreak proves in a very dramatic and dangerous way that we're not doing so well on that.
So how do you begin to fix it? Tell me about the report, how you went about it.
Well, what we did in the report was we really reissued a number of recommendations that we have made in previous reports. And I should note that this is the sixth time in the last 3 years that BGR has written about the jail. It is of concern for us. It is the third largest expense in the city budget. And of course, as the events of the last 2 weeks show, it's very important for public safety. So we have a series of recommendations that are all about trying to get the city and the sheriff's office to come together for better planning and information sharing, which we think would make everyone more comfortable with committing the resources that are necessary to effectively run the jail and to be able to gauge performance and things like that. So to that end, we recommend that the city and the sheriff agree to develop a multi-year strategic plan for what should happen at the jail and how to address maintenance needs, how to address information, the needs for sharing information and resources, projecting the population and the needs of the facilities, what sort of metrics they want to see for outcomes for detainees and the public, things like that. And then establishing processes for developing and approving the jail's both operating and capital budgets. Mm-hmm. And that would include also a compensation strategy because, you know, the jail staffing is about 28% lower than the optimum number of physicians. And you heard this during the city council meeting last week, but, you know, there's a lot of frustration on the city council side that they can't see the city council folks feel like they really can't see the detail that they need to feel comfortable in funding the jail, that they want more information about where the sheriff is actually spending money and contracts that the sheriff's office is entering into and things like that so that they can feel more comfortable or hold the sheriff accountable if they feel like money is being wasted on things. So it's kind of a mix of both.
So here's what I don't understand. I don't know who wants to answer this question, but it would seem like all of this is a matter of public record. If it's public money that's being used for contracts, it's being used for purchasing, running a public facility, I don't understand how this is not transparent or how nobody can go in or the city council or whomever can't go in and find out what they need to know. What am I missing here?
Well, yeah, I think what's missing is that there's no a software issue where the city's on a financial software package that cannot communicate with what the sheriff has. And so we heard a lot about that at the council meeting, that just on that fundamental level, the city doesn't have access to that data and information. And that level of accountability is critical. And so one of the other things we're calling for, you know, the sheriff does meet quarterly with the city council to, you know, to discuss the budget and how things are shaping up with that. But we're calling for more meaningful data and accountability as a part of those joint quarterly meetings. And so the city should come up with what are the metrics, what are the things it wants to hear on a regular basis from the sheriff's office about where the city's funding is going. And so you mentioned at the outset that, you know, the about the finger pointing, and certainly those investigations as to what went wrong need to definitely run their course and are critical. It's essential that we get to the bottom of this massive security failure. But if it just sort of ends there, the public won't have been well served. We've got to get beyond that and kind of develop, you know, before the budget even rolls around, to kind of have more dispassionately come up with a long multi-year strategic plan to identify the jail's needs and a plan that all sides agree on how to fund those needs.
See, I think that's very well said, because obviously what you guys are recommending is not going to matter if ultimately nobody's watching the cameras or who knows who was involved with what in the noise, as I understand it, that had to have occurred with the escape here. But you're looking at further down the line and preventing any more problems after you take care of the low-hanging fruit. Let's pick it up when we come back, because I want to get back to this public record and spending thing. You would think that there would be something in a law somewhere, and I'm just looking at it as a civilian here, that would say, okay, the sheriff's spending public money, at some point, software aside, you should be able to go to some dashboard, some website, some something, and see where every penny of the money is spent. But apparently that's not what I'm hearing. We'll find out. I'm talking to Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of the Bureau of Governmental Research, as well as Paul Rue, Senior Research Analyst with BGR. We'll pick it up here. We come back. 721 Traffic Now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to the Bureau of Governmental Research, specifically Becky Mowbray, the President and CEO of BGR, Paul Rue, Senior Research Analyst, about some recommendations on how to improve the operation of the jail in New Orleans after the escape that happened almost, well, I guess a week and maybe 10 days ago. Anyway, so let's talk about spending the money, y'all, because I'm just a civilian in this, and I'm thinking, well, this public money is an elected office. it's tax dollars that are being used, there should be somewhere, software aside, that we can go and see where every penny is spent and that the sheriff should be accountable for that. There's nowhere, no place where I can go and see that, one of you?
Hey, Tommy. You're right. The information is available. BGR, we do our work by requesting data and analyzing it and things. So you can get it, but it's just that it's not readily available. And right now, the city council, the state, they all want information now to understand, what went wrong, just begin to look into what went wrong and what was broken as far as equipment, how many people were, on duty, things like that. And if they could agree in advance about what information is needed, then the sheriff could provide that and the city could scrutinize it and you would have a more real dialogue. Think about with the sewage and water board, like they regularly report out on, the number of pumps that are working at any one time or the turbines that are working. And it helps facilitate public understanding. And without that coming from the jail, it just, in this situation, it's a microcosm of what we've been talking about the last couple of years, that the sheriff can say, well, it's not really my fault. The city of New Orleans didn't give me a big enough budget to make sure that all the cameras were operating and, that the locks, that I could replace the locks on the doors and things like that. And then, the city can point to the sheriff and be like, well, you're not, that doesn't matter. You're not doing a great job managing it. Why didn't you deploy the resources you had differently? And if they could agree on what information is necessary to have a conversation and to support a budget request and voluntarily provide that, and then that the city, when they make budget decisions, could say, we funded this, but not that for these reasons, I think it would just move the conversation in a more productive place for all of us.
So what is the budget of the sheriff's office this year, as I might know?
It's $91 million, most of which the city provides, although the sheriff does have a $12 million property tax that voters approved by the narrowest of margins, just two votes. Just a week or two before the jailbreak.
So if BGR or the city council or me, anybody, wants to see the checkbook or how all of that money's spent, I can do it only if I request specific things from the sheriff's office. Is that what I'm hearing? Somebody?
Currently, to get the complete picture, I think you would have to go that route. But I think I feel somewhat confident that one of the outcomes of this is we're going to get better data on that front. Just overall, the jail, this is a chronic problem. The jail for the last half century has been under federal oversight. But the jailbreak kind of captured the public's attention that this is really a public safety issue when you have these SWAT rollouts, happening in people's neighborhoods. And so, the hope is that, now that everyone's attention is focused on the jail, we can kind of capture that and keep the focus there and really make some progress on reforms to how the jail operates and how it's funded that can address these really longstanding generational problems that the jail has had.
I hope some changes. Thank you all. Becky Mowbray, Paul Rue, President and CEO of BGR and Senior Research Analyst, respectively. We'll talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, when we come back about that and also about the power outage and more. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:43, 17 till 8, never enough time with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. So let's get right to it. How you doing, Joe?
I'm well. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. So let's talk about, we'll get to the prison in a minute or the jail. Let's talk about this power outage because I immediately, when it happened and I was driving around and I saw it was going farther and farther and farther and farther, I looked to social media, saw you in Lakeview talking about the power outage. What do you know?
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Know now that you didn't know on Sunday afternoon.
The only thing I think I know now that I really didn't know on Sunday afternoon is that one of the plants that powers in St. Charles was down, and then one of the plants in St. Francisville tripped, which we've seen before in other power situations, which was one of the probably causes for not having enough power locally. And now, of course, Tommy, all the questions we've been asking for the last few days are going to be important as we move forward. Specifically, I think, sort of who knew what when, because I think that's what really gets people. Energy has regular little changes to their system where they ask people to power down because they're trying to harden the grid, and people may grumble about that, but they understand the need for that to happen. It's when it happens on a Sunday afternoon, unexpectedly, that I think really, you know, gets people upset, and rightfully so.
When you say power down so they can harden the grid, you mean make some kind of capital improvement, and that's why you have to go without power for a while?
Correct, correct. And the energy's been doing this for, I think, probably a couple of years now with more regularity. They usually send to our office a list of five or six locations in District A. That's going to happen. And then Energy sends the customers notification, and we also send the customers notification as well, at least their neighborhood groups, so people know. And overall, as long as people get the notice, they get it. And that hasn't been the problem. The problem arises, and it's with any utility issue, it's when you have interruption that's unexpected.
But this was not for that, was it, for any grid hardening?
No. This was an issue of, again, too much demand at one time and not enough power being supplied. And the issue of the timing of where it happens, why it happens, are all questions that have to be asked. And unfortunately, it looks a little bit like MISO, which is the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, which does the transmission, seems to be saying, well, we told the utilities in enough time they should have been prepared, and the utility energy is saying that's not the case. So both the council, which regulates Energy New Orleans, will have a meeting on June 3rd, and then the Public Service Commission, which regulates the other utilities across the state, will have a meeting June 18th. And, of course, in those interim, both regulatory agencies will be working to make sure they get answers and see what actually happens.
So let me just tell you what I'm thinking a lot of people are feeling today and thinking, which is, you say too much demand at one time. Devontae Lewis earlier was saying something about, and I'm not criticizing him at all, I think he's a leading voice on the Public Service Commission, but talking about weather forecasting here or there. I guess just as an average person, Joe, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's May 25th, whatever it was. I can tell you it's going to be hot and humid. I can tell you people are going to be using power because it's hot, and they're going to be running the air conditioners. And when you say too much demand at one time, my thought immediately goes to, after that, and I think it did Sunday as well, to, okay, is this the beginning of summer? Does this mean there's going to be a summer of this or not? Is that what you've heard from your constituents?
It is. And look, I, as you pointed out, I was one of the people affected too. Mm-hmm. And when one of the reporters called me, that was exactly the conversation we got off the record, which is, hey, this is Memorial Day. The world knows there are going to be more people at home. As you point out, it's going to be hot and humid. And we're not in peak summer season yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was warm in the afternoon. If you had your air conditioning running, you didn't have power for a couple hours, it got a little warm in the house, but it wasn't unsufferable as it would be in the dog days of summer. And I think exactly what you're talking about is what really people want to know. They want to know that it's going to be reliable. They want to know it's going to exist. And exactly what you're saying is the next fear, which is, hey, if it was a clear day and there's known that it's a holiday, then why is this happening and how do we prevent that from happening on, pick a random date, July 20th.
Mm-hmm. So people know they pay their bill, they either pay Entergy New Orleans or Entergy Louisiana. They don't know anything about MISO. Who regulates MISO, or does anybody? Is that just done through each utility company that is a member of MISO?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time explaining what MISO was over the weekend. MISO is regulated by the feds. So you know, that becomes another sort of complicating factor in all of this. And again, this is where people get frustrated, Tommy, because people don't want to hear, well, this is the agency responsible for that, and this council has Entergy New Orleans, and the Public Service Commission has the other energy companies, and then MISO is regulated by FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So, again, all of that is important, but I think what you just said before is the more important part for the public, which is they don't care about the who, they care about the what, the how, and the why, and they just want their power to work when they flip the switch.
What you're describing just now sounds like the surge in water board, where everybody is has a hand in it, but nobody's responsible for it.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely similarities that were crossing my mind as all this was happening. You know, you talk about how many times have we heard there's been a trip which leads to a power issue that cascades further down the system. You have multiple agencies who are responsible. At what point was information communicated? And again, I'm not saying that's a sewage and water board per se fault. I'm saying these are the realities of when you deal with multiple utilities and what happens and how they're regulated. And again, the bottom line for anybody, whether it's your cell phone service, whether it's your power at your house, whether it's your water being supplied, people, A, want to know that it's going to work. And as I said before, B, most people are fine with an interruption for planned work, but they just want to know as far in advance to plan as possible. And again, obviously, on a holiday weekend, it's even more acute.
Yeah, probably not the time to do it, Sunday afternoon or Memorial Day. And the other question, you know, I have is, I don't know what happened in Orleans Parish, but I saw a lot of businesses just lock it up after the power went out. And I got to believe that cost overall a lot of money. And I don't guess anybody's going to get reimbursed for any of that, right?
I haven't seen any of that yet, and I know those are always the issues that people are frustrated about. You know, Greek Fest, I know, is affected by all of this, too. So you want to always make sure your best foot is being put forward, and obviously I think that's going to be part of the conversation about whether or not there'll be any reimbursement.
So one nuclear plant was down for plant maintenance. The other one tripped, which means what?
Which means there's generally a power stoppage for a period of time, and then it has to be restarted. That's usually what a trip means, that power tripped as it was being applied, and there's something that happens that stops the power from working, and then you have to go through a set of principles to restart all of it. And again, unfortunately, as I keep on saying, flipping a switch, now I'll change my analogy, it's just not that easy. It requires more care and time.
Do we know if that plant had not tripped, if the power would have still gone out?
I don't know the answer to that yet. But again, I've heard that on Sunday, And then Paul Murphy's reporting seemed to indicate that that was part of the issue as well. So these are all the things that we want to know the answer to about what's going on and why and how long and what's going to happen. So these are all the right questions. We just don't have the answers yet.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. And look, if my aunt was equipped differently, she'd be my uncle. However, if it had been a rainy afternoon, this could have caused severe problems for the Sewage and Water Board, right?
It could have caused problems for Sewage and Water Board. They obviously rely on energy power in addition to those motor diesel engines and the turbines they have. And look, Sewage and Water Board did report, Tommy, that they had some sewer problems. They were able to fix those, but obviously you want to have all the power available possible.
Lift station issues? Is that what you're talking about?
Excuse me?
Lift station issues? Is that what you're talking about?
Lift station issues. That's exactly right.
People that don't understand what government's about, look up lift station. That's ultimately is what being a politician and being in government is. You got to keep it moving. Let me ask you, they're telling me to keep going here, so we'll take a break at the end of it. Joe, when it comes to the jail, I was talking to Bureau of Governmental Research, and look, I get the brass software and all that stuff, but do you guys as a council know how the sheriff's spending the money you give, or how transparent is it with the sheriff's office?
Well, that's been the issue the whole time is that, and look, I want to be very clear about this because I've said it publicly, so I want to say it now. This has been an issue since my grandfather was on the council, mm-hmm. is that the sheriffs say, I'm an independently elected body. By state law, you are supposed to give me the money. Now give me the money, and we don't really have to give a lot of disclosure about what we do. And I think the problem has become that as time moves forward, people want to have more transparency. And Tommy, I think there's a difference between we're allocating, pick a lowerish number, somewhere less than $500,000 maybe to an agency, whereas for the sheriff, we're allocating close to $65 million. And when you see the recurring issues that are happening in the jail and the water breakage that happened over the weekend that David Hammer reported, the issues with the breakout, other financial issues. I think it's natural for the entity, in this case the council, that gives the money to say, hey, we want to know what's going on and how it's being spent. The only backstop we have in this instance is obviously the jail is still under a consent decree. So there are federal monitors who are regularly looking in the jail and seeing what's going on. The judges are obviously keen on what's happening there too. But this is just sort of a classic. If we're writing the checks, then I think we want to know how the money's being spent.
Yeah, or paying the money as a taxpayer. Thank you. As I said before, never enough time. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. We'll talk to you again. 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.